open your Bibles to Joshua chapter number 3 today. Joshua chapter number 3. And we're continuing our series, Rules for the Jordan River. And as I've been mentioning all series, it's based on this book right here by Robert Morgan. And I would encourage you to get this book and spend some time going through it. It's all about moving forward in life. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. We do not want to just stay where we are in our relationships. We want to move forward. We want to grow. Think about in your job and what you do, your career. Most of you, you don't want to stay where you are. You want to move forward. You want to learn. You want to grow. You want to excel. The same is true spiritually. That's true individually. God does not want you to stay how you are spiritually. He wants you to grow. We, as leaders here at Beachside, we want you to grow. That's why we have developed a process to help you to be able to grow. That's why we talk about next steps every single Sunday, because every single one of us has a step that we need to take with God. Now, my step's going to be different than yours. That's okay, because we walk with God at our own pace, and as he leads and guides each and every one of us. But he doesn't want us to stay where we are. We need to move forward. As a congregation, we don't want to just stay the way that we are right now. God has so much more out there for us, so many more people that he wants to reach, so many more lives that he wants to change in our community and around the world through technology. We don't want to just stay how we are. We want to move forward. But unfortunately, moving forward is scary, because that means moving into the unknown. And that's what this series is all about, talking about moving forward, how we can do that. Let's look at Joshua chapter number 3 together. We'll pick up in verse number 1. Says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment that we've come together at the beginning of this week to praise your name, to turn our hearts towards you, to look into your word and invite your Holy Spirit to use it to speak to each and every one of our hearts. And Lord, I pray for those who are in the room with us and those who are watching and joining us online that have never trusted Jesus to be their Savior. They've never accepted his free gift of salvation. I pray that today would be the day where they would enter into that wonderful relationship with God and find everlasting life. God, for Christians who are here, we all have different steps that we need to take. Lord, for some, it is the step of baptism and making our faith public. For some, it might be joining together as a congregation and partnering with us in membership. For some, it might be getting involved in service, Lord, in one of the many different ways that we have to serve here on Sundays and throughout the week. God, we all have a step to take. I pray that right now, through this message, you would share with us how we need to move forward in our lives. Lord, may we not let fear control us. May we find your strength and look to you as we seek to move forward today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you like to travel? You like to travel. Let's see our travelers out there. All right, I love to travel. I love to go different places, see different things. I love to have new experiences in new places. Now, when you travel somewhere new, somewhere you've never been before, what are some things that you typically will do when you go to a place you've never been before? Do you have any ideas you want to share with us? What are some things that you do if you've never been somewhere before? What do you do? All right, 1,000 pictures, okay? All right, find the locals, figure some things out, just explore, yes? Okay, so do a little research ahead of time. Look online, Google some stuff. TripAdvisor, all those sorts of things. Travel agency? Okay, that's the old school way. They still do that. That's okay. It's okay. You can. But a travel agent they know exactly where to look. There's that personal connection. They can find out what you enjoy and all those sorts of things. Yes, that's most definitely something that you can do. Anybody else have any ideas? Other ideas? What do you do? Yes.
Travel with your kids.
All right.
That they know what to do.
There you go. They can. Your kids can Google it or whatever. Yeah, perfect. So,
got a plan.
Sure. Plan out the time that you're there, the steps you're going to take, what you're going to do. Make sure you have those plans. This right here, I'm going to shut my live stream off for just a minute. This right here is my best friend when I travel somewhere I don't know where I'm going. You used to, it's so funny, you used to have to pull out a map. So I like to watch Friends, and just recently I watched the episode where they go to London, and for those of you that watch it, Joey gets the map of London out, he sets it down on the ground, and he steps on the map. He's going into the map to figure out where he needs to go. And for some of you, you remember having to pull the maps out in the car, this giant thing, to figure out where exactly you have to go. I'm so thankful I don't have to do that anymore. Now, for those of you that don't know me, my wife, my family, and I, we've only been here about 6 weeks. So we're still learning Palm Coast. So a lot of places I go, I still use this. Now, I've figured out things pretty well. Like, I can get to certain stores and certain things without using this. But if I'm going to somebody's house, this is coming out. Because I might know what section you're in based upon your name of your street, but I have no idea where that is in your section. So having directions is so important. Recently, my wife and daughter traveled out to Las Vegas. My wife was speaking at a women's conference out there, and my oldest daughter, Catherine, is getting ready to turn 16 in November, and so for our girl, each of our girls, we want to take them when they turn 16 on a trip somewhere. So she went with my wife, and my wife did the conference, and then they stayed a couple extra days for Catherine's birthday, do some special things. And one of the things that they wanted to do, one of the locals told them about this tree that you can hike out to see. It's called the rubber ducky tree. And it's out in the middle of nowhere, literally nowhere. There is a Joshua tree that has rubber duckies tied all over the place to it. And there's a story about why they started doing that. Supposedly somebody was biking the trail and ran into the tree branch that was overhanging. And so somebody started tying rubber duckies to, like, alert people that, hey, there's a tree here. Don't run into it. That won't feel good. But anyway, there's, like, probably hundreds of rubber duckies around this tree. I will share that on social media later for you to be able to see if you're on there. So they decide, hey, we hear about this interesting thing. Our family loves to go look at interesting things. It's kind of unique. Hey, let's go try to find this rubber ducky tree. So they go out there, they park, they try to find it, they don't find it. They give up. No idea where they're going. And sometimes it's hard when you've never been somewhere before. Because you don't, yes, I know it's there. They told me it's there. But how do you find it just in the middle of nowhere without giant neon signs that say, rubber ducky tree, this way. Like, don't you wish there was signs like that in life sometime? Just giant neon signs that tell you, yeah, I know you're in the midst of an unknown time right now, but this is the way you go. This is what you need to do. Unfortunately, that's not the way that life works. And a lot of times in life, we're facing unknowns. Almost everybody who's in this room today, almost everybody watching online this morning, you are facing some unknowns in your life. I know I'm facing unknowns in my life. As we mentioned just a moment ago, unknown is scary. Walking in the unknown is scary. Leaving the familiar is scary. But we're going to look at rule number 5 here this morning that says this: expect God to guide you where you've never been before. And there's a little bit of fear in that, but there are also a lot of faith involved in that, because we understand God's going to guide us to where we've never been before. Moving forward comes with going where you've never been before. And so there's some fear along with that, but understanding that He is the one that will guide us every step of the way brings comfort. It brings hope and allows us to be able to trust. Look here in Joshua chapter number 3, beginning in verse 1, it says this, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning." How many of you are morning people? All right, so we have some of you in here. How many of you hate morning people? I mean, how many of you are not morning people? Not morning people, that's what I meant. Sorry, that's my bad. All right. I'm not really a morning person. I get up early in the morning in order to be able to fit in everything I need to do that day. So I'll get up early, I'll exercise, make sure I get my work done. I want to have time with my family and all those sorts of things. In order to do that, I have to get up pretty early, even though I don't like to. My wife is a morning person, definition of a morning person. And there's times where I really hate her in the morning. Like, I'm not going to lie. Because she wakes up, she's a lot more thoughtful now than she was when we first got married. A lot more understanding about me. Because when we first got married, she would just wake up, she's booming, she's ready to go, lots of energy. For those of you that don't know my wife, she's a little talkative. Not just in the morning, all the time. And so she would wake up excited, refreshed, ready to go, yada, yada, yada. And that's not me. Like, when I wake up in the morning, it takes me a while to get going. Like, I gotta have some quiet, I gotta have some space to get running, to get going, find me an energy drink or pre-workout or something, get the caffeine going. I don't drink coffee. I know. I'll grow up one day. That's what people tell me. But so it takes me a little while to get going in the morning. And here Joshua, he gets up early in the morning, and it appears that he is one of those morning people that's, if I'm up, everybody's up. And maybe you have somebody like that in your life. My dad was like that. My dad worked overnight, and so a lot of times he would sleep in. But for whatever, like if he was going fishing or something, he was up so early. If he was going hunting, he was up so early. And if my dad was up, everybody's up. Like, he's just loud. He's acting like it's the middle of the day. I don't know what it is. Joshua gets up early, and it tells us that they, so not just Joshua, everybody. Everybody gets up. They set out from Shittim, which is kind of interesting because this is as far as Moses got. So for those of you that aren't familiar with the story here, Moses was one of the greatest leaders that Israel ever had. He is the one that God gave the Ten Commandments to, and he's the one that God used to deliver the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt. Now, Moses had got as far as that, and as we looked at the beginning of the series, Moses died. Joshua now is the leader in his stead. But this is as far as Moses got. So they're moving on into new territory, even here. And they make their way from there. They come to the Jordan, talking about the Jordan River. And it says, he and all the people of Israel lodged there before they passed over. So he leads them to the bank of the flooded Jordan River. And I've heard some different people talk about the Jordan River when it gets to this flood stage, which the scriptures already talked to us about. It's a flood stage. So it goes from being maybe 100 yards wide to over a mile wide at some point. Water is just raging and roaring. Being from the Midwest, we had our city flooded, like historical floods, twice in my lifetime. Just completely decimated our downtown area and our city. So I understand what it means to stand before a flooded river and the power that comes with that. But they're standing here on the edge of this river, and they're looking across into the unknown. They're looking into something that they know very little about. It's unknown to them. And for some of us today, that's exactly what we're doing. We are standing at the edge of the Jordan River, and we are looking out into the unknown in our lives. And I want to talk to maybe the teenagers for just a second that are in the room with us this morning. Because some of you, you're coming to the end of high school now. And you are looking into the unknown of college. Moving out of the house. Picking your major and all this kind of stuff. And there's a lot of unknown that comes with that. You get as comfortable in high school as you can. I don't know that you can ever get comfortable in high school. At least I couldn't. But now you're looking out into so much unknown that's out there. And that can be a little scary. For some of you, you're looking into the unknown in your job or in your career. And you've got some choices to make or some things have happened, and now you're looking into the unknown of a lot of different things. And man, what am I going to do? How is this going to turn out? How are we going to make it? How am I going to be able to provide for my family and all this stuff? For some, it might be a relationship that's unknown. A marriage breaks up and falls apart. A loved one passes away. And now you're looking into the unknown of life without this person. And what does that look like? And how do I live? And how do I go on? And how do I move forward? And so for many of us today, we are with the children of Israel. We're standing at the banks of the Jordan River looking out at something that we just have no idea where we're going to be able to go from here, how it's going to turn out, and all that stuff. But one of the things that we need to concentrate on, because there is so much unknown out there, and when there's unknown, that's what we tend to focus on. We tend to focus on the unknown. And what I want to challenge you to do, and what Joshua challenges and God challenges the children of Israel to do, is stop focusing on the unknown and focus on the known. Because what we know is so much more important than what we don't know. What we know is actually more of a who we know. Because if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you've accepted that gift of eternal life and entered that relationship with Jesus, hey, that's really all I need to know. And unfortunately, a lot of times, even as Christians, instead of focusing in on Jesus and this person that we know that will take care of us, we know he's going to provide for us and all of this stuff, we focus in on the unknown. And we let fear control us. We've already talked about that in this series. But we need to focus in on what is known. And that's what Joshua encourages the children of Israel. That's what God encourages the children of Israel to do here. In verse number 2, it says, at the end of 3 days. So here they are on the banks for 3 days. There's that 3 days again, and we've talked about that before. The officers went through the camp and commanded the people, notice what he says, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. So notice what he says. He says, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. Notice what they're supposed to focus in on. Don't focus on out there and all the unknown and the enemies and all that kind of stuff. Look at the Ark of the Covenant. And for those of you that maybe aren't familiar why that's important, the Ark of the Covenant was a visual representation of God's presence. In essence, what he's saying is, hey, look to me. That's what God's saying. Look to me. And focus on God should be the desire of our heart, not focusing in on the unknown. We need to focus in on God today. And for some of us, maybe that's literally the reason that God led you to this place this morning, is to get your attention off of all the unknown that is happening out there around you and just stop for just a couple of minutes and get recentered and get refocused in on God and who he is today. Paul tells us this in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And here we are as we skip into the New Testament, Paul saying, hey, you need to focus on Jesus. Look at Jesus. He is here, talked about the founder. In other words, he's the one who came up with it. He's the one who established our faith. Salvation is found in him. A right relationship is found in him. And he is the one that came up with it. We need to look to him. And he says, he is also the perfecter of our faith. In other words, he's the one who's going to bring it to completion. He started it, he finished it, and he's the one that we need to focus in on. And maybe here today, and you need to focus on Jesus a little bit. For some of you, you might need to focus on him for salvation. You've been looking at a lot of other things to try to bring you peace with God. Nothing else can do it but Jesus. Coming to this church will not bring you peace with God. You can come here every single week the rest of your life. That will not bring you peace with God. We take up an offering here. Okay, putting money in the offering plate or giving to our church online will not bring you peace with God. It won't. If that's why you give, stop giving, because it won't work. The only way we can have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. And you need to look to Him today for salvation. For some of you, you've been looking at the unknown. Unknown about the future, unknown about relationships, unknown about certain events and certain things that are happening in your life. Hey, it's time to get your focus back where it ought to be, and that is on Jesus. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And that's what Joshua is focusing in on and tells them here when he says, hey, make sure when you see the ark, when you see that ark, that's what focus in on God, not on the unknown that is out there. Look at verse 4 as he continues on here. He says, yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. So he says, hey, you need to leave a distance between you and the Ark of the Covenant. Leave some space. Cubit is around 18 inches. So if you put 2,000 cubits, a cubit differed depending on what nation you were from at the time. So it could be anywhere from a half mile to maybe 3/4 of a mile. Put that much space between you and the Ark. Don't come any closer to the ark than that. That's a good bit of space. Some of the drivers out here on 95 maybe could follow this direction here. Leave 2,000 cubits between you and the next car in front of you maybe. Because they get close around here, don't they? So thinking about the space between people and the Ark of the Covenant, I'm interested to hear from you this morning. Why do you think He said to leave that much space? That is a lot of space. What do you guys think? What do you think? Why did he say leave that much space? Anybody have any thoughts about that this morning? All right. He said if you fill it up, you can't see it. If you get too close, you won't be able to see it. All right. And I like that answer. I'll give you a gold star today. Head of the class. My front row student. I love it. Because you think about it, there are estimates about how many people were here with the children of Israel. The conservative estimates say 1 million people. So 1 million people need to be able to see the Ark of the Covenant. Because God wants them to focus on Him, not on anything else. Not on anyone else. Now, if people get too close, as Nancy mentioned, you might be able to see it if you're in the front. But if I'm further back, all I'm looking at is you. I can't see the Ark of the Covenant anymore. So now, instead of following God, I'm following people. And he wanted to make sure they didn't do that because we're moving in the unknown. We're moving into a place you've never gone before. And it is important to be able to follow God in those moments. Now, I think it's important for us to have examples, good examples that we can look to, that we can learn from, that we can follow in a sense. Okay, I think about just my own personal life. I try to be somebody that my girls can follow. My wife says, please don't follow. Don't be like your dad. I try to be somebody that my wife can follow. I try to be somebody that the people here at our church can follow. There's nothing wrong with having good examples to follow. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And you notice what he did, what he said. Okay, the words are important. He said, yes, follow me, that's okay, as I follow Christ. In other words, this is the way I like to think about it. I like to see, hey, I want to look at Jesus. We already looked at that. You need to look to Jesus. And as long as somebody is in line with Jesus and they're going towards Jesus, great, I'll follow you. I can follow that example. I can learn from you. But if you start going here and Jesus is over there, I'm not following you. And that ought to be the heart cry of each and every one of us. As your lead pastor, I should be living an example that you can follow. Okay, I should be doing that. If a time comes, and believe me, there have been many pastors who have done it. If the time comes where I walk away from Jesus and head in another direction, don't follow me. You keep following Jesus. So what he wanted to ensure is he wanted to make sure that everybody could see it. Because remember what he said in verse 3, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant, as soon as that moves forward, hey, then you need to move forward. So it was important that everybody have an opportunity to see it for themselves so they could follow it for themselves. And once again, I want to speak to some of our teenagers who are in the room, some of our children who are in the room. It's great that you may have parents that you can follow in the faith. That's great. But if you're here in this room today, the time has come for you to follow Jesus for yourself. Your faith needs to become real for you. You are the one that has to choose to follow Jesus. And yes, we as parents, as we've mentioned, we want to live a pattern that you can follow Jesus like us. But just looking at your parents and following them is not going to help you. You need to look at Jesus. You need to follow Jesus. The time has come where you have to make that choice for yourself. Maybe it's time for some adults in here. You've been looking at church leadership, you've been looking at church tradition, you've been looking at whatever and following that. That's fine as long as that is leading to Jesus, but the time has come for you to look to Jesus for yourself, to make your faith genuine for yourself and follow him. So they need to be able to look to it. They need to be able to look to God to find direction for their life. And that's true of every single one of us today. We all have unknowns out in front of us. Individually and as a congregation. And we need to be able to look out to Jesus and follow his guidance, his direction. I love these verses in Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 5 and 6. They say this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." I love that. It says, hey, you need to look to Jesus. You need to just look to God, trust him, follow him. Stop trusting in your own wisdom. Stop trusting in your own talent, your own ability. Hey, you look to God and you follow him. And it words it this way. It says he will make straight your paths. And the idea behind that phrase is that God will lay out your path in front of you. Doesn't mean it's going to be an easy path. My family and I, we enjoy hiking. And we went over to Sanford this Friday. Friday is our family day. So Friday we went over to Sanford and we did the Black Bear Wilderness Trail. It's a 7.1 mile loop. You're supposed to be able to see black bears and alligators and all this stuff. We didn't see any of it. It was free, otherwise I would have asked for a refund probably. I've been looking for alligators since I moved here 6 weeks ago. Gator fans maybe, yeah. I don't think they live here anymore. I really don't. I've not been able to see them. They're coming, okay. Everybody's like they're here, all right. My name is Thomas. I will believe it when I see it, okay? So we're going on this wilderness trail, and it is twisting, turning, winding, roots, all this kind of stuff. But the path was laid out very clearly in front of us. And the same is true for our lives. God never said, he never said, if you look to me and you follow me and you trust me, life's going to be easy. The path's going to be easy. That's not what it means here when it says he's going to make our path straight. The idea is that he's going to lay out the path in front of you. And yes, the path will be challenging at times. The path is going to curve this way and that way sometimes. I really love how the King James puts it. It says, hey, if you trust him, he will direct your path. He will lead your path. He will guide your path. As I mentioned a little while ago, my wife and daughter went out to find this rubber ducky tree. And she had let me know, hey, we're going to go hike. We're going to go find it. So I call her the next day on the phone. How was the tree? Like, was it interesting? And she said, no, we never found it. We went and parked where we thought we were supposed to park, because once again, there's not a parking lot that says, hey, this is the spot to go to the ducky tree. It doesn't have that. So we parked where I thought we were supposed to park and hiked on a trail, but we never found it. And so she said, we're gonna go today and hopefully find it. And so usually when we go on trips, I'm the one who finds the stuff and gets us to it. And I wasn't there. So I was back here in Florida. She's out in Las Vegas. And she says, hey, we're gonna go try to find it again today. Because somebody had given them a rubber ducky to go and tie on the tree. The ones that told them about it gave them a rubber ducky so they could tie it on the tree. So they wanted to see it. They wanted to have this experience. And she goes out and she's once again tries to find it. And I call her up because I'd been doing some research about, okay, I hopped on my laptop and said, all right, where's the tree at? Where's it located? All this kind of stuff. Looked it up. And so I call her and I said, hey, are you headed to the tree? And she's like, no, we gave up again. We're going to head back to see something else. And so I pulled up my Find My app. So for those of you on Apple, it says Find My. And you can share location with people. So you can find your Apple products, but you can also share a location with people. So my wife and I share a location with each other. So I pull up her location. And as you can see, she's right here with us. Thanks for joining us in church this morning. But I can look and I can see out in Nevada where she's at, outside of Las Vegas. And I can see where she needs to park in order to get on the right trail. So I'm watching her. I can see all that she needs to know. So I pull up my GPS on my phone. I go scroll over to Nevada where the parking lot is for this trailhead, and I drop a pin in the parking lot, and I share it to her. So now she can GPS to the parking lot. And then what I do is she gets out, and I follow the trail on my GPS, and I drop another pin at a fork in the trail. There's a couple different ways you can go. Dropped another pin right there. Okay, that's the direction. Take that trail, walk the trail, and that's the direction that you can go. It basically, from Florida, I was able to direct and guide her to the right trail so that she could find the ducky tree. And we have a video that Catherine finding the ducky tree and being able to put her duck on there. And so I'm kind of watching. We're in contact back and forth, called a few times while she was out there, found the tree, and then she starts making her way back to the car. Problem is she heads the wrong direction. So she's out in the middle of nowhere. So once again, I got to pull up my GPS, drop a pin in the parking lot so she can get back to the car. See, I was able to do that because I knew where she needed to go. She just needed a little direction because she'd never been there. She didn't know where to go. And the same is true in our lives. Listen, there's a lot of unknown in life. Most of life is unknown. But we know somebody who knows all it all. Who knows every single one of our days and how it's going to turn out. knows every single one of our circumstances and what we need to do. And all he's trying to tell us is, listen, stop focusing in on the unknown. You will drive yourself crazy focusing in on the unknown. You will worry yourself literally to death focusing in on the unknown. It's time to turn our hearts and our attention back where it ought to be, on the one who knows exactly what's going to take place, on the one who knows exactly what we need to do in each of these moments. And so what I want to challenge you with this morning to think about is, what is the unknown that's in front of you? Because we have unknowns in front of us. What is it for you? As I mentioned, maybe it is college life for you. You're thinking about college and a career and future life and all that stuff. Maybe for you it is a career change. Like, I got to move in a different direction. Maybe it's life without somebody that you love alongside of you. Whatever it is, stop focusing on the unknown and start focusing in on the know. The greatest known is that God is leading you every single step of the way. Joshua chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Shittim. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Rule 5 says, expect God to guide you where you've never been before. Let's trust in God's guiding hand today.